Welcome back to the Look and Sound of Leadership, an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived. I'm Tom Henschel, your executive coach, and today is a bonus episode. That's right, a bonus episode. Sometimes, when listeners in the Look and Sound of Leadership audience have been in touch with me via email, our exchanges turn into interesting little mini coaching engagements. Today, I'm going to share two of those exchanges. You're going to hear them exactly as they were written, except for openings and closings. I've cut right to the chase in both cases. This is the first time in the podcast's 8-year history that I've done anything like this. If you like it, let me know. I have a lot more email exchanges that I've saved over the years. I'd be happy to share them. If you don't know how to get in touch with me, I'll tell you at the end of the podcast. This first exchange is from a guy named Jared. This began in February 2014. He wrote, "Tom, your tips on presentation and leadership have helped me tremendously. Thank you. The reason for this message is to inquire about guidance in dealing with interruptive people during a presentation. I have my own way of stopping the behavior, but I've received feedback that isn't exactly positive. While I get the reaction I want from the offenders, I wonder if there's a way to improve my skills to also improve feedback about how I handle these people. To complicate matters further, the offenders are often in higher ranks than I." Signed, Jared. To which I replied, "Jared, interesting situation, and complex. I'm not sure I have enough details to provide a lot of value, but I'll give you some ideas. It seems that when people interrupt you while you're presenting, you don't experience that as positive. I'm not certain why. Are they being rude? Are they trying to take over the presentation? Are they challenging you in some way that's not appropriate? My position on interruptions is that they're always welcome. To me, interruptions are real-time indicators of a need on the part of the listeners. I picture my listeners sitting in the sidecar of a motorcycle I'm driving. When I make a sharp turn or jump ahead too fast, they fall out. That's not good for me or for them. So, when an interruption happens, I feel it's my job to do 3 things. Number 1, keep track of where I was in my material. Number 2, address the concern, the interruption. And 3, get us back on track. All 3 while increasing the positivity of the relationship. I'm not certain, but it seems that your experience is different. What's doubly interesting to me is that it seems you do not want senior people to interrupt you. That's something you probably can't control. And, by the way, in my experience, senior people usually give themselves permission to interrupt anyone. I wouldn't take it personally. I wonder how it would be for you if every time there was an interruption, you thought to yourself, "Oh, good, they're listening, and they're thinking about my content. We're having a conversation. This is great." And then what you actually say is, "Thanks for that idea. Here's how I think about that." Not certain these thoughts are on target, Jared. Hope they help. Signed, Tom. Jared replied, "Tom, I see I wasn't very clear when I described the interruptions I often experience. Allow me to expand. Often when our department gets together for training, it's like a mini reunion, since the department is large and spread over a large geographical area. This leads to a lot of chatter between the road squads and even more so between the administrative ranks. I make the audience aware that there will be plenty of break time and time to catch up during the practical portions of the training. I directly address the chatty individuals in the middle of presenting, and this works pretty well, but I'm concerned with the feedback I've received. Several people have said I was being bossy, that I should tone it down a little, and even that I was walking a line, talking to the brass like that. I appreciate your original feedback, and I certainly invite conversation about the topics being discussed during the presentation, but the sidebar chattering is distracting to everyone. Do you have any leadership judo that applies to these types of distractions?" Signed, Jared. To which I replied, "Jared, reading your description makes me wonder if there's ever been a discussion about 2 topics. Number 1, the purpose for the training sessions. And number two, ground rules. Here are some questions that occur to me on the first topic, the purpose for the training sessions. Why is the group coming together for these trainings? Who cares about the material besides you? Why would people need to learn what's being taught? Here are some other questions that occur to me on the second topic, ground rules. How do people want to treat each other? How do they want to be treated themselves? Are there values that people in the group share? What behaviors would display those values? Jared, I wonder if you could observe to the group what you have observed to me. Could you lead a conversation about some of the questions listed above? One last little comment. You wrote, quote, "The sidebar chattering is distracting to everyone." I'm guessing the chattering can't be distracting to everyone, or it wouldn't be happening. From what you've written, the chattering is clearly distracting to you, but to everyone, I don't know. Perhaps a conversation about the sidebar conversations would allow people to address that issue. You might find out that, in fact, people are not distracted by it, or that they are, and you raising the issue might give people the opportunity to communicate that, yes, they are distracted. Good luck. Signed, Tom. A few months after that, I heard from Jared again, and he wrote, "Tom, after digesting your advice, at the next training session I set up ground rules and explained them at the beginning of the training session. I started the day by explaining why this information was important to them. After doing this, I noticed the audience chatter nearly disappear and the interaction between the audience and presenters shift toward the content rather than off-topic, which the other instructors and I greatly appreciated. Once in a while, there were moments we had to get the conversation back on track, but this provided valuable information into what the department needed to discuss in the next training sessions. Thanks so much for all the help. Signed, Jared." So, that was Jared and me trading emails a couple years ago. One reason I thought it was interesting was because it took a turn I wasn't expecting. It didn't really end up being about interrupters at all, but that's where it began. It ended up being about the importance of telling people why things are happening and for people to talk about how they'll treat each other. Okay, next exchange. This was with a woman named Sarah in the spring of 2015. She wrote, "Tom, there's one area of self-management with which I really would appreciate more help, defining my tasks and responsibilities when they're not defined for me. I often work with managers with a high degree of ambiguity about what they want from me and what they want from every stage in our project process. I've been trying to focus on what you mentioned in your podcast episode called Defining Success, when you talk about not asking for definition about my job from my managers, but I struggle with their unclear goalposts and communication. I would love any tips on asking for clarity in a productive way or how to push ahead independently while still looking collaborative. Thanks. Signed, Sarah." To which I replied, "Sarah, re your question about clarifying goals and communication when the managers aren't clear. My style is to listen as best as I can, ask clarifying questions, then, once I think I have some understanding, tell them what I'm going to do, or tell them my understanding of what they've said. It would sound something like this. Based on what you've said, I'm going to do three things. First, email the client, and blah, blah, blah. I state my actions with as much specificity as possible. In this way, I take control of my part. I tell him or her or them what makes sense to me based on what I've heard. And if they don't like it, they'll amend it or correct it, which is fine. I also make good notes. Perhaps I'll even send a confirmation email. Here's what I agreed to do, etc. Then later, if they change their mind, as so often happens, I can say, oh, okay, fine. That's different from what we discussed last month, but I'm happy to do that. Don't know if this sounds reasonable based on your situation and the players involved. Signed, Tom. To which Sarah replied, Tom, I think your solution sounds like a very reasonable one, particularly the idea of sending a confirmation email. Our office culture is casual, and there seems to be a conflation of ambiguity with creativity, which occasionally makes me pause before making more formal or structured-looking gestures like confirmation emails, though that sounds ridiculous as I type it, but it's true. As a result, I worry that the statement, "That's different from what we discussed last month," would likely be taken as antagonistic by my manager on this particular project. However, I think you make a good point about it being fine for there to be some back and forth between a manager and me in order to hammer out a task. I can probably worry less about that negotiation. Signed, Sarah. To which I replied, Sarah. I laughed when I read, "A conflation of ambiguity with creativity. Great description." My experience has taught me that many creative workplaces value collaboration and consensus. When that is coupled by any tendency to avoid conflict, the culture can become sluggish. Your worry that a confirmation email, which would clearly be intended to clarify roles and responsibilities, might be too formal, is a great example. If the phrase, "That's different from what we discussed last month," may sound antagonistic, you might try a very chipper, "Oh, great, I'm so glad you told me I was going to do it differently," or something similar, which will acknowledge that what you are hearing is turning you in a new direction. But I want to emphasize, it should be said without rancor or judgment. Chipper is a good word to keep in mind. Signed, Tom. To which Sarah replied, "Hi, Tom. Being chipper is a great idea. I think that's the key. A colleague whom I really respect here once said he thought it was possible to say almost anything at our company so long as you seemed like you liked the other person." Now that I typed that idea, it reminds me of your idea of cultivating unconditional positive regard no matter what comes out of a colleague's mouth, even if you don't agree with it. Trying to keep in mind the spirit of being chipper is a way to orient towards that unconditional positive regard. I actually tried a version of what you suggested yesterday for managing vague direction, the tactic of asking lots of clarifying questions and taking notes as my manager asked me to make a deck. When I produced something that he felt differed from what he had asked for, I showed him the notes that I had taken on what he had said that led me to create what I had created. Looking at the notes, he then clarified what he had meant, and it was a pretty neutral exchange. I was able to give him what he wanted without the tension, so I think it was a fairly successful interaction. Next time, perhaps I'll state what I'm going to do more clearly also, so I can get his reaction before I do the work. To make a long story short, the phrase, "The hardest person you'll ever manage is yourself," really resonates. Thanks again. Signed, Sarah. Sarah's a great writer, isn't she? And I'm not just saying that because she cites one of my own coaching tips. I admit, I get a bit of a thrill when people quote my lessons back to me, but also, I have to say, it's a little weird for me. Nice weird, but weird. In any case, I thought Sarah was amazing. She tried some new behavior because of advice she got through email, and it seems to have gotten new results. I don't know about you, but everything about that feels amazing to me. Quickly revisiting my exchange with Jared, because it seems he's in front of small groups all the time, I also pointed him towards an episode called Facilitating Open Dialogue. It's about facilitating groups. You might want to check it out. In the exchange with Sarah, she mentioned unconditional positive regard. That is one of the ideas in an episode called Creating Devoted Followers. Okay, so now it's up to you. What do you think? Would you want more of these bonus episodes? Let me know by going to the Essential Communications website at essentialcom.com. That's essentialcom with two M's. Click the contact button at the top of every page and let me know, yes, more bonus episodes or not. No matter what, it'll be great to hear from you. I don't know how this was for you, but for me, this was actually a lot of fun. Until next time, I'm Tom Henschel. Thanks so much for listening.